God. And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will
for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, help us to be receivers of your word. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. We are continuing in our series of messages on the question, are you problem-focused or word-focused? You see, if you don't learn to get word-focused and you continue to be problem-focused, there is nothing that God can do to help you with your problems, praise God.
Amen.
We may ask the question, and it's the song, I love it, and that's gonna, and I'm thinking that's going to be our theme song for Victoria's Word. What is so hard that God cannot do for you, praise God?
Amen.
But see, God, there's one thing God can't do for you. He can't answer a prayer that is not prayed, praise God.
Amen.
You must learn to talk to God. You must learn to get into the Word of God, find the promises of God, and begin to build your faith so that you will be able to stand against problems, trials, temptations, and situations. Glory to the name of the Lord. It is very important that you learn to do this because you are witnesses unto God. And the world will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior when they see how you, his representative, handles your problem. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, I remember many years ago when I was working in a place, in a missions capability in the Air Force, and there was a woman who was really struggling. But she came to me out of all the people that she could have talked to. She came to me because she saw how I had handled some of the most difficult problems that were encountered in my life. Glory to God.
Amen.
She saw that when people were trying to do me wrong, I did not break down and cry and get distraught, but I stood and I even laughed in the midst of the situations. Praise God.
Amen.
She saw that. Now, she didn't, thank God she didn't see me a couple of years before that when I would break down and cry and get distraught in the midst of the situation. But she saw the Troy who had finally learned to get into the Word of God and allow himself to become more word focused. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. God, turn that light off this, son. Thank you. No, the one in the bathroom. Thank you, son. All right. Good boy. Turn it off. Thanks. There. All right. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. We're looking at verses 16 and 17. We're going to look at some principles from Abraham's life. Father Abraham. See, we've given you a couple of scriptural principles, but now we want to actually look at an example. Thank God that the Bible provides not only principles, but examples on how to walk in victorious faith in Christ Jesus. When you learn to walk according to the Word of God, then you will be victorious in every circumstance, in every situation that life will bring at you. See, Satan, he's not going to let up on you. Hallelujah. He don't want you to have a good testimony before God. Because if you have a good testimony, then somebody just might ask you about it, and they might become more interested in God, and they might actually get saved because of you. And Satan can't have that. So he has to do everything he can to destroy your testimony, and that's why he harasses you. I don't know why he continues to do things like that, because it always works against him. We were praying earlier for that pastor who was in jail in Iran. Well, the thing about that issue is that since he's been in jail, he's won at least 30 people to Jesus Christ, praise God.
Amen.
He's taken Muslims and won them to Jesus Christ while stuck in a prison. So He learned how to become more word-focused rather than problem-focused, even in the midst of his trial. Glory to God. And Satan don't, he don't like that. So that's why he thinks that he can beat you down. And the reason why he does continue to do it is because many times he does win. Because a lot of people don't stay focused on the Word of God. They get easily discouraged. They get easily distraught. They get easily torn up. And I'm not criticizing anybody because I was just like that. Praise God. And I knew better. I knew the truth, and I still allowed myself to become more problem focused and word focused until I finally buckled down, disciplined myself, and decided I'm going to stay on the Word no matter what. Come May, I'm on the Word to stay. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Have you found Romans chapter 4 yet? Let's look at verse 16. We don't want to, I would encourage you to read the whole thing at home. We don't have time to read this because I want to get you out of here so that you can do whatever you do on a Sunday afternoon. You know, you want to go to Walmart or Kmart or Family Mart. All right, verse 16. I know sometimes people might have the roast in the oven, and they time it by the length of the service, and they figure, well, service should end at such and such time. Well, we don't want the roast to burn, but we will go on as the Spirit leads us. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I also want to point out before I get into this, I'm very proud of Nerwin, who's in Florida. A little jealous because she gets to get in that warm weather while we're here in this freezing Rhode Island cold. But she's won the cheerleading championship, and that's our baby girl. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So when she comes back, we're going to have a big cheer for her. Amen.
Amen.
A hero's welcome for this daughter here. All right. Verse 16. Talking about Abraham. A little bit of background, as most of you probably know the story. Abraham and Sarah were called by God to have children and to produce a nation. The only problem is they were both old. And Sarah was barren, she couldn't have a baby, but God told them that they was going to have a baby. And so, in spite of all these circumstances, in spite of all the difficulties and problems that confronted Abraham, the Bible teaches us that he stayed on the Word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
And we can read verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise, say the promise,
the promise,
might be sure to the seed. Hallelujah. God's promises, God's word is sure to the seed. That word sure means to be certain, to be inevitable, to be without any contradiction, praise God, or any doubt or any attempt to fail. God's word cannot fail if you work it right, praise God.
Amen.
Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. I want you to see how God speaks. Just like as Pastor Mary corrected me a moment ago when we said that we believe the church is going to grow, and she said it is growing. God always speaks in present tense realities. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus said that when you stand praying, believe that you receive those things and you shall have them. Praise God.
Amen.
Believe that you receive them the moment that you ask for them. In 1 John chapter 5, we are told if we ask anything according to the will of God, he heareth us. And if he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. And all these things, God always speaks in present tense, even before you see the actual realization of the thing that you're believing God for. Praise God.
Amen.
See, God says that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Well, you may not feel like more than a conqueror. You may not feel like an overcomer, but it's not based on what you feel. It's not based on what things are looking like. The Bible says that you are already more than a conqueror. Praise God.
Amen.
The Bible talks about, when it comes to physical healing, it says that by his stripes, ye were healed. You are not the sick trying to get well. You are the healed fighting for the manifestation of that promise in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen.
So when you begin to study the promises of God, you will always notice that these promises are present tense realities and that you are to claim them in spite of the way circumstances are looking at that point. And that was the same with Abraham. He didn't have a child through Sarah, but still God told him, you are a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations. So therefore, he had to continue to speak that and continue to say that, even though he hadn't yet had a child through Sarah. Praise God.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, that is what the word Abraham means. See, his name first was Abram, which means a king, a prince. But then God told him, I'm changing your name to Abraham, a father of many nations. So he had to go around saying his new name in spite of the fact that reality did not show that. He had to go around calling Sarah mother of many nations because her name was first Sarai. And he changed her name to Sarah, meaning mother of many nations, praise God. So he had to go around calling this 90-something-year-old woman barren, ain't had no babies, and say, your name is mother of many nations.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes when you have to do that, you're probably choking. I got to say that today. Well, praise God. I'm just going to believe God. See, but if you do it, you continue to stand on God's word in spite of the way things look, and then you begin to see it come to pass. When he says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. And look at the way, look at how God works now. And calleth those things that be not as though they were. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if God calls things that be not as though they were, then you need to repeat your father. Praise God.
Amen.
In other words, if God is saying that you are more than a conqueror, you are an overcomer. If God is saying that you are prosperous and you're going around saying, well, I don't feel like I'm conquering anything. I feel like I'm getting beaten up and I'm poor and I'm sick and I'm down and out. Then you're not saying what your father says, and you're basically calling your father a liar, and you're believing the circumstances more than you believe your father, and so therefore, you don't get nothing. Praise God.
Amen.
James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. If you want to receive from the Lord, you've got to speak faith. You cannot keep speaking doubt. You've got to begin to do like God does and call those things that be not as though they were. That is why Abraham continued to speak what the word of God said. He continued to call those things that be not as though they were by calling himself Abraham instead of Abram. Glory to God.
Amen.
So we need to see that Abraham, he did have a problem. He had no babies. His wife couldn't produce. But God told him that you're going to be a father of many nations. He was frustrated because he told God, he said, I don't have an heir. And so God said, I'll give you one. And so Abraham had a choice to make. Do I continue to focus on the fact that I don't have an heir? That my wife has not yet had a son for me? Or do I focus on what God says? Praise God.
Amen.
Well, thank God that Abraham learned to focus on what God says. Let's look at verse 18. It says, who? Look at this now, because this is the situation many of us are in. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Praise God.
Amen.
See, Abraham's situation, just like many of ours, looked hopeless. But against hope, he still believed in hope. Praise God.
Amen.
He still had an expectation. Because, and why? Because he focused on what God said. He, according to that which was spoken.
Amen.
He focused on that which was spoken, not that which was going on around him at that present. Glory to God.
Amen.
And then verse 19 goes on to say, and being not weak in faith, he considered not. Look at this now. he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, he didn't look at his body. He didn't look at this and say, well, I ain't producing. I'm not producing anything. I'm not developing the baby making seeds here. He didn't look at Sarah and say, you know, she's old. She ain't about to give me no babies. I love her, but she old. He didn't look at none of that. He considered not, praise God. Instead, he focused on what God said. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, and he gave glory to God. When you stand strong in faith, in the midst of every circumstance, in the midst of every problem, you glorify God. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to glorify God? I know I do. One of the ways you glorify God is by standing strong in faith. Amen. If people seeing you breaking down, then that's why they don't want anything to do with your God, because they don't think that God can help anybody.
Yes.
So when we begin to stand strong in faith and giving glory to God, then somebody's going to say, man, he got through that issue. Man, maybe I need to talk to him and get some advice, or her and get some advice. Praise God. Let's stay with Abraham. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to give you some insight from this particular passage. I'm so glad that Abraham did this so he can give us an example of what it's like to stay word focused instead of problem focused, and it give me something to preach on. Praise God. Man, it's hard to come here on a Sunday without a message. So thank God for Abraham giving me something I can preach on. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. How many of y'all have, we're going to talk about Gideon later. How many of y'all have ever read Judges chapter 6 and read the story of Gideon? Yeah, only Rad? Okay, many of y'all read it. Some of you read it. But anyway, Gideon, when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, he told Gideon, who was acting like a coward at that time, he said, you are a mighty man of valor, praise God. God is not looking at what you are acting like. He is looking at what he has made you, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So what you got to learn to do is see yourself the way God sees you. See your life the way God sees it. See, when I look at my wallet, I don't look at it as empty. I look at it as having plenty of money in it. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I look at myself as prosperous. I don't look at myself as broke. I ain't broke. Even when I may not have a certain amount of money at a certain time, I look at myself as still prosperous in the Lord.
Amen.
And God has never failed to supply any of my needs. He's never left me destitute. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at verse 12. It says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now that word patience, I'm gonna give y'all a little bit of Greek, because the Bible, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And sometimes the words are not conveyed in the English as they were in the original. But the word patience here, it comes from the Greek word macrothumia. And this basically is a noun form which means patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, and perseverance. Praise God.
Amen.
See, when you're having troubles, you've got to have endurance. You've got to have patience. You've got to be able to have what I call bulldog stick-to-it tenacity. Hallelujah. You can't give up and you can't quit in the midst of trials. You've got to have that bulldog endurance. So that's what that's talking about here. It's not talking about just sit there and hold your arms and say, ah, well, I'm just going to keep on praying and believing until I see my change coming. No, it tells you to stick it out and to stand against the wiles of the devil in spite of whatever's going on until you have seen the manifestation of what God has promised you in his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that you are to, through the prophecies that God has given you, you are to wage a good warfare. And then it tells you later on that you are to fight the good fight of faith. See, through the word of God, you are to stand against the devil who is attacking you and telling you that God lied to you and telling you that that ain't never going to happen for you, and then bringing up examples of people who have failed for it. You know what, Sister So-and-so, she was believing God for that too. Look what happened. It never happened for her. As a matter of fact, she died. Well, praise God. The Bible in Hebrews 11 also talks about those who died in faith, not having received the promise. I tell you what, I'd rather die fighting than to die defeated. Praise God.
Amen.
I would rather go down to the grave and say, hey, I'm still believing God. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm a winner, not a loser.
Amen.
I'm the head, not the tail.
Amen.
The prison door has been opened, my friend. So what you doing in jail?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
All right, Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go down to verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, it's after he had patiently endured is when he obtained the promise. Let me just give you one more Greek word. The word endured here is makrothumio, which means to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles. Praise God.
Amen.
So even though Abraham was faced with problems, even though Abraham was faced with difficulties, even though Abraham was faced with something that looked too hard, but he remembered the word from God that said, there's nothing too hard for God. And I'm sure that after God said that, he began hearing that song in his head. What is so hard in your life that God cannot do? For some reason, I bet you Brother Emmanuel's voice came into his head at that time. Praise God. There's nothing too hard that God cannot do. And so what you've got to remember is that in spite of your difficulties, in spite of your troubles, if you endure, if you stand against the wiles of the devil, then God will bring it to pass. Why does he let you go through those trials? Because that's the only way you're going to learn, praise God.
Amen.
You can't learn. You will, you know, when I was in the Air Force, we went through basic training. And we had to go through a number of trials, a number of tests, a number of hardships in order to strengthen us, praise God. And as I went through those obstacle courses, you know, there were some people that just didn't make it. You know, some people, that you know, like one time I was trying to, you know, we had to climb this big, I don't know how many feet it was, very like 60 feet foot wall, and all we had was a rope, and we had to climb that thing. And there were people that got halfway up, and they had to go right back down because they just couldn't make it anymore. I was trying to help one person, and she just kept crying, I can't do it. So finally, after about 10 minutes of trying to help her, I said, bye. And I climbed up the rope, praise God.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. You know, when I got about 3/4 of the way up, I was ready to go, God, how many more feet I got to go up? But I kept on going, praise God.
Amen.
And I got over the wall, praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to learn to keep on that rope. Keep climbing all the way up that wall and get over it. And the way down is much easier than the way up, praise God.
Amen.
And so you've got to learn to do that. You've got to learn to endure the troubles. You've got to learn to endure the circumstances. You've got to learn to fight the good fight of faith and stand your ground and not quit and be beaten down by Satan. He is already a defeated enemy. You've got to just take God's word and keep standing on that word until you see what you have been believing God for to come to pass. Let me tell you, it's easier to preach this than to live this. I'm telling you right now.
Yes.
It's easier for you to listen to it and get excited about it until the day that you got to really start practicing this. I know when I first heard these type of messages, I used to get excited. I mean, whoa, you mean God really answers every prayer I ever asked him for? Whoa, you mean God has promises for this? God has promises for that? Man, all I got to do is find out what the promise is and claim it. Woo! I would get excited. Until something would happen to me, and I would remember what Pastor said. And I would get into the Word of God. And I would begin to claim the promise. And then the promise didn't come to pass the first day. The second day. The first week. The third week.
The
second
month.
The second month.
Yeah.
You saw, I mean, man, I'm like, I thought this word was true. It didn't happen for me immediately. But as I learned to keep practicing this thing, as I learned to keep standing on this word, I began to see manifestations of God that wouldn't. I began to see circumstances change that I would otherwise would have been impossible, otherwise would have destroyed me, praise God. Amen. And my wife was here, Terry can tell you, she's grown up in a house where she's seen many miracles, praise God. Haven't you, baby? She's grown up in a house where she's seen God do many things because we took this word and we learned to stand on the word of God. So these two can tell you that they have seen God do things that would have normally have destroyed us in the long run. And because of that, her faith is built, and I've seen God answer so many of her prayers. And sometimes I have to say, let me have this little girl pray for me sometimes, because I'm telling you, she gets prayers answered faster than I do. She's like, Daddy, I prayed, and the next day God did this. I'm like, I prayed, and the next 3 months God did it. That's just a little bit unfair there. But the thing is that if you endure, God will make it happen for you.
Amen.
Abraham, see, for me, sometimes it may have been months. Sometimes it may have been a year or more. Abraham, 20 years. I want you to think about that. He had to stand on the promise of God for 20 years. And some of y'all can't stand on God's promise for 1 hour.
No, no.
Oh God!
Don't disrupt.
It's been a whole hour. Oh, you're a real rock.
That's
right, Pastor Mary. I know. Well, but we got to learn to hold on. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to give you a negative example now. Sometimes we learn from the negative examples as well. We're gonna get. Let me give you this one. Give me a few more minutes of your time. Let me give you this one because I want you to leave understanding the fullness of this principle. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. See, even though Abraham stood strong in faith, his descendants didn't do it well. God bless your father in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that cold in Jesus' name, and I command it to go away from this man of God. I command every germ to leave his body and for him to be fully and completely healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Numbers chapter 13. It's in your Old Testament. It's right before the book of Deuteronomy, right after the book of Leviticus. I know when Pastor Christic was here, he used to tell us we're going to start having us do some Bible drills. Maybe I'm have to bring him back here and tell y'all and teach y'all to do that. All right, Numbers chapter 13. Begin at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send out men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." Notice that God, I want you to see the present tense here again. God doesn't say, I'm going to give. He said, I give, praise God.
Yes.
Matter of fact, if you look at other passages of scripture, he says, I have given them the land. Mm-hmm. So God, even before they ever entered in, God says, I give them the land. Now, the question would come up, and we'll just deal with this real quickly. I don't want to get into detail about it. If God had already given them the land, why did he need to send spies to spy out the land? Anybody know the quick answer to that? Never mind, I'll tell you. The answer is God sent the spies into the land because, and when you read Deuteronomy chapter 1, you got to learn to let the Bible interpret the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, you will find out later that they came, that the children of Israel came to Moses and they wanted to send the spies into the land. So God simply gave them permission to do what they wanted to do, praise God. Mm-hmm. But if, had they been standing in true faith in God, they would not need to have sent spies to confirm what God had already said. All they needed to do was take God at his word and go into the land and conquer it like God told them to do. But no, they had to send spies. But he said, I give unto the children of Israel, every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. We won't read all that going down because it starts talking about each and every person that went into the land. So they went into the land. And then you go down, let's jump down to verses 25 to 33 for the sake of time. This is another passage of scripture I advise you to read at home. As you read through the whole Bible, and then you come here and listen to me, you'll be able to grasp some things because better as you begin to read the Bible itself. And then as I'm teaching you, then you can, as a matter of fact, more scripture will come to you than what I'm giving you, praise God. Amen. If I could give you every scripture on these things, we'd be here all day. But you go down to verse 25 and it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Well, God had already told them that. Nevertheless, now look at this. You got to be careful of that nevertheless, praise God. Never add a nevertheless to God's word. And a lot of people do that. Well, I know God said that, but nevertheless, but you need to leave that conjunction out of there. God said it. Period. Amen.
Amen.
That's what they should have left it at. But they had to add a nevertheless, and that's what always gets you and I in trouble. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. So what? And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You see what's happening? Mm-hmm. They're problem focused, praise God.
Amen.
They're not promise focused. God said, I give you the land. But instead of focusing on what God said about the land, about the fact that he's giving them the land, they're focusing on the fact that the people are strong. They got big walls. Climb over that wall, praise God. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Say so what?
So what?
That's right. That's what you learn. You need to learn to say when people start bringing all the problems to you, all the reasons why you can't accomplish that, even though God told you you can accomplish it. When they start bringing to you all the issues, all the situation, your response should be, so what?
Man.
What is so hard that God cannot do?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, thank God for Caleb. We go down to verse 30 and it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, so what? Glory to God. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Oh, man, I like that kind of person. That's the kind of person I want hanging with me, praise God.
Amen.
Them other 10 spies, I don't want them hanging around me. Man, they mess up my faith.
Mm-hmm.
They'll cause me to go to backslide.
Yes.
I want somebody like Caleb and Joshua around me. They say, hey, yeah, we know what's going on, Pastor Troy, but hey, stand up. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I like about Pastor Steve and Mary, praise God.
Amen.
They always, they said, Pastor, yeah, we know it's tough, but you hang in there. We with you, praise God.
Amen.
That's what we need with each other. This is what this group, we are focused on this group, that we should be there for each other, we should stand for each other, we should be encouraging each other, praise God.
Amen.
When somebody from this church calls you on the phone and starts telling you about their problems, please don't start repeating your problems to them. Girl, I know what you're going through. Because I've been going through the same thing. You ain't helping. Begin to encourage them. Begin to say, hey, you know, I was reading the Bible the other day. And this is what the Bible says. The Lord is your strength. He is your ever-present help in a time of trouble. Begin to encourage them with the word of God. Sister, you can make it through this thing. Praise God. Brother, you can make it through. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I need people that's going to lift my arms. Not throw them down to the ground and say, hey, let's give up. Let's all go to the bar and get a drink together because we can't make this thing.
It's too hard.
That's right. It's too hard. What is so hard that God can not do? I don't know. He ain't doing it for me, so let's just quit. No. And look at this. These discouraging men. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able. That's going directly against what God's word says.
Right.
I mean, problem focused. When you are problem focused, you will not be word focused, and you will always speak in contradictory terms to what God says, just like they were doing. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That's when you're supposed to say, so what? And the Bible goes on to say that they brought an evil report before the people. And then, on top of that, when you read further, the people, the majority got so mad. They wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. You know what? Let's kill Moses and Aaron. Let's make us a leader and go back to Egypt.
Yes.
You know, that's what happens to so many pastors sometimes. Let's kill pastor and just start all over again. But no. You got to listen to the voice of the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, it's the word of God that brings faith. It's the word of God that's going to change the circumstances. God will change circumstances as you listen to his word, as you believe him. And the Bible says that his word shall not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the thing which he set it out to do. You simply got to believe that and stand on it. They refused to stand on it. So God told Moses, God gets fed up sometimes. He told Moses, you know what, Moses? I've had enough. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to leave you and I'm going to make a nation out of you. Moses, thank God for Moses, because Moses, he's a better man than I am. Because see, if it was me, I would say, okay, Lord.
Go ahead.
Go. Take. Do your thing. But no, I wouldn't have done that to you. I wouldn't do it now that I know the word of God. A few years ago, I would have said, yeah, go ahead and kill them, Lord. But Moses, thank God, he stood before his God and he said, God, don't do it. I'm more concerned about your reputation, God. If you do that, then people are going to talk bad about you. They're going to say you brought him all the way out here just to kill him. You want your reputation to be hurt like that? Remember what you said in your word to me. You said that you are long-suffering. You are gracious. You are merciful. See, Moses began to pray the word back to God. And then God, he listened to Moses. Just like he listened to you, he said, all right, Moses, you're right. I ain't going to kill him. He said, but I'm going to stay here in the wilderness for another 40 years.
Mm.
And their children, whom they said that was going to get killed, those are the ones that's going to go in.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you, I lived in the desert before. Man, that ain't fun. You walking around the desert for 40 whole years, that is not fun. But they did it to themselves, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what happens to many of us We lose out on what God has promised us because we become like these 10 spies.
After they parted the sea.
Say that again.
I said it was after they watched him part the sea.
Oh yeah, after they seen miracle after miracle after miracle. They saw how God rescued them from Egypt. How plague after plague came to get them out of Egypt after they got to the Red Sea, and God protected them by a wall of fire from the Egyptians until when Moses stretched out his hand and the sea began to open. Now, it's not like in the Ten Commandments movies where Moses did it and then all of a sudden, shoo. No, the Bible says that God blew over the ocean and it took all night before that thing opened. We watch these movies and we see Moses doing that and bam, it just opens up. Looks great, but it ain't always the truth. And that's important to understand because sometimes it don't happen as fast as you see it on TV, praise God. Sometimes you might have to battle all night until you see that victory. And then they crossed that sea and the Egyptians came and the water washed over them. And then they began to praise God. Hallelujah. They began to start worshiping God. They began, you know, Miriam got her tambourines and her sisters, and they started worshiping God. Let me tell you something, though. All that worship and all that dancing, it makes you thirsty. Because they got to a place with some water in it. And they started complaining. Moses, why you bring us all the way out here to die? He brought all out here to die. So God said, Moses, get a tree, throw it in the water. So they began to drink all the water, and they got happy, and they started praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of y'all know that drinking all that water make you hungry? Yeah, they got hungry. And there was no food around. So they got mad. Moses! We ain't got no food! You brought us all the way out here to die! So Moses, God says, let me rain down some manna and get them some food, praise God. I mean, but they complained and complained and complained because they were problem-focused. They were so focused on problems. They weren't focused on the Word of God. Amen. Complaining versus speaking faith makes a difference. If I'm complaining, and let me tell you something, I know what I'm teaching you is truth because I come from a family of complainers. If there were championships for complaining, we would have won. I mean, somebody told me Liberians love to complain. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Edwards family could probably beat the whole nation of Liberians complaining. We complained about complaining. I mean, I was so terrible. I mean, people didn't even want to be around me sometimes. As at Edwards, he's always, you know, so one of the first things God had to teach me is to stop complaining, praise God. Amen. But the only way I could do that was to become word-focused. Stand to your feet. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I thought I enjoyed it myself. Glory to God.
Amen.
We're going to...